Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Let's ride together.
Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Chevy Buick GMC. Let's ride together.
Hey guys, what's up? This is Josh Norman.
This is Alex Smith.
This is Joe Gibbs.
And you listen to Redskins Talk
with JP Finley.
What up, everybody? JP Finley, Redskins Talk Podcast. Big win for your Washington Redskins. This team might be a little bit maddening, but they are 6-3 in firm control of the NFC East. And it is very ugly. Let's not lie about that. And today was all about being opportunistic on defense and doing just enough on offense to beat what is really a bad football team. Let's be honest about Tampa. They got a lot of weapons. That's a bad team. Pete's here. Mitch is here. This is our first topless podcast.
I hate how you say topless, but it is topless.
We're sitting by the pool
at
our
hotel. Poolside pod.
I tell you what, Tampa's delivering on this trip, man.
Absolutely. This is a city, my friends.
Tampa changes people, man.
Pete is now Peter.
Yep.
Paul.
Peter. I'm topless, Paul. Too.
We're sitting by the pool, and it's pretty. It's perfect. The weather is perfect. Yo, before we get to anything, huge game ball hat tip to the Redskins fans. There was army of Skins fans down here. I saw a lot of the people who go on the road a lot. You know, Gingerbeard and Chris Bryant and Rally Captain. But I saw a lot of new people I hadn't seen. My boy Ryan Lewis was here. My buddy John Hughes made the trip. Danny Frank made the trip.
I heard Biagi made the trip.
I heard Will Biagi made the trip. That rally was bananas, by the way.
I heard from more Redskins fans on the sideline today about the podcast than anywhere else that we've been.
We love you guys.
DJ Swearinger was running off the field high-fiving fans all the way down the line as he's running. And as he gets to a fan, a guy points at the camera and me and is like, "Yo, Redskins Talk Pod, we love you guys." And I was like, "Hello, all-pro safety running right in front of you. Like, I love you too, but we can do this after the all-pro safety high-fives you."
Really, from a Redskins perspective, a great trip down to Tampa. We are also honest on this podcast, and the offense is just a slog.
It's gross.
Super slog, and I feel like that one connection of Vernon Davis, if Smith had hit that, that could have totally flipped the narrative, but it's still such a slog.
I was talking with one member of the coaching staff as they were leaving, and just how much is getting left on the field, and
a lot.
Here's what I can tell you. I think the offensive meetings, the QB room, I think people are just pulling their hair out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just
– we're watching the game pulling our hair out.
And I want to be clear on this. Alex is delivering what Alex does. He doesn't make mistakes, dude. This game, if the Skins have a turnover, it goes a different direction. You know what I mean? Like, I was getting into this with Hoffman in the press room. And
oh, boy.
What's that?
Oh, boy.
No, not bad. Ryan Fitzpatrick – is a QB that takes any chance. He doesn't care. He will throw any football.
He'll throw it forwards, backwards, this way, that way.
And he just makes a ton of mistakes. Alex is almost the opposite of Ryan Fitzpatrick. Because here's the thing. Fitz is kind of good, right? Like, he's got some game to him. There are terrible quarterbacks that make a ton of mistakes because they're terrible. Fitz isn't terrible. He just makes bad decisions frequently. Alex makes nothing but good decisions but is just playing it super safe.
I liked the Redskins' defensive approach today. Aside from they gave up
was
a ton of
their approach.
It seemed, it felt, hear me out.
500 yards, is that their, the approach?
No, but it felt like they gave Fitz enough rope to hang himself. They let him beat him with more or less underneath passes.
I think it was they weren't going to allow big plays.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They weren't going to allow big plays. There are a couple of the mid-range outs and stuff that they hit, but they got nothing over the top. And you know that if you give him, if you make him throw the ball enough, he's going to turn the ball over. He's wild in
obviously
the pocket. Like wild in the pocket running around.
I wrote this. It's an experience watching that dude play football. I can't imagine being a Bucs fan and the highs and lows of watching that.
It was riveting.
Can you imagine trying to coach that?
Like I said this on air. Here's what Ryan Fitzpatrick does. He gets coaches fired.
Well, Dirk Cutter took play calling over halfway through the game. It was totally chaotic, apparently, on the Bucs sideline.
I believe it. It was chaotic.
Look at your quarterback.
Total madness.
It was chaotic on the field.
Yeah.
Did you not see him?
Yeah.
Dude, the dude was 8 yards past the line of scrimmage and tried to throw a lateral, which was very obviously a forward pass.
It was close, though.
People at the pool are wondering what the hell we're doing in the corner with microphones.
Yelling at each other.
Oh, this guy has a – yeah.
It was close, though. That would have been a big play.
It wasn't.
A great challenge by Jay and the team.
It was. It was.
Smart.
The Fitz experience is wild, and there's no way around it.
It's fun. I enjoyed watching it.
These people are getting in the hot tub over
here. I kind of want to get in, too.
All right.
I like our American flag T-shirt.
All right. I got a ton of notes.
I have a medium amount of notes.
So let's.
I have stolen notes.
Very clearly, the plan was not to give up big plays. And with Mike Evans and Sean Jackson, I think it's a pretty smart plan. And they were fine with getting beat a little bit underneath, and it happened a lot. Jaquizz Rodgers killed them, but.
Some sketchy tackling at times.
There were a lot of missed tackles.
That's
today.
My first note.
Yeah.
A lot of missed tackles.
And Fitz is slipperier than I expected.
From the unusual suspects.
More slippery.
More slippery.
Jonathan Allen had one.
That's what I was going to say.
The backfield.
Swearinger could have made a big play in the backfield, didn't get it.
The guys who we've come to expect to be solid tacklers and were the guys who were missing tackles.
When you look up bend but don't break defense now in the dictionary, you'll see a picture of November 11, 2018.
Not in the dictionary, in the record book.
Like, this was the definition
Let's
of bend but don't break.
Let's just run through these numbers, dude.
501 yards,
29.
They had 100 yards and 6 minutes to go in the first quarter.
29 first downs, 501 yards, 398 through the air, 103 on the
ground.
One
punt.
Dude,
3 points.
And part of the Skins' formula is controlling, is winning time of possession. They lost it.
Well, not close, right?
4 turnovers, dude.
Yeah, they were minus 15 coming in, and they're minus 19 now.
Dude,
can we talk about the Ryan Anderson super punch?
I mean,
dude,
he almost made a field goal with that
punch. We had him on post game, and we'll run that tomorrow in the day after pod. He was like, man, I just wanted to make sure it came out. Bro, it came out.
That was a great.
It was like
20 yards.
It was like a Mike Tyson's punch out uppercut.
And what's great is he rushed the passer and then reversed fields and traced backwards and did that, you know, 10 yards downfield.
Like,
a very
what
good
if he would have missed the ball and gotten the chin?
Like, would have hurt his hand.
It would have maybe knocked him out.
It would have been like a B-Mitch punch to my shoulder.
Shout out to my guy, Preston Smith. RT would have enjoyed that.
RT.
Sack fumble.
Yeah. No, and more so, you could see the guys loved it for him.
Yeah.
Like, Preston got hyped for it, but all the guys jumped on him after the play.
He was also wearing a pretty sharp three-piece suit.
Did you see the chains?
Dude, there were some good suits today.
Heavy
Jordan
chains,
Reed suit was dope.
DJ
I did not like Jordan
nice
Reed
blue
suit.
Plaid.
I liked that.
It was like a plaid.
I liked it
like,
for Tampa because it was like a light color.
And
like
it was
Florida,
like,
dude.
It was, yeah. All right, fine.
Going full Tampa.
Nobody
goes full Tampa and survives.
And he's a Florida guy. I mean, he's a Florida guy.
Right, right.
It was like what? It was tan with some brown plaid.
I would almost say yellow.
How about yellow. Tim Settle showing up in the Ryan Zimmerman Nats jersey? I thought that was pretty strong.
I didn't see that, but
that was good.
Purple suit from Swearinger. That one was
strong.
Pretty good, too.
Dude, we haven't thanked Orsman. Orsman Automotive of Virginia.
Thank you, Orsman.
Guy. We've literally been hanging out with Biagi all weekend, so maybe
we thanked him in person.
Yeah.
We all thanked him in person.
Orsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them. You should ride with them, obviously. All right, I haven't even done the rundown. I haven't done anything here. All right, so we're going to react. We're going to go through all our notes. Game balls and goats, over-unders. I have like 4 different stories I want to tell, which are all pretty interesting.
Okay.
This might be a really long pod.
Let's do it.
and I have a debate. I have a question for Mitch.
I'm ready to debate.
All right. So first on my list was missed tackles. The wacky forward pass thing. Here's what I wrote. Wacky forward pass - Fitz is crazy.
We've talked about how crazy he was. Yo, on that forward pass, forget the forward pass part. How many people missed a chance at him in the backfield?
I think every
– 93,
95, 98 all had an option chance at him. That was crazy. That makes football – that makes a 3-3 football game okay to watch. Like, having Fitz as a QB made having a 6-3 at halftime football game
right.
kind of okay to watch.
I tell you what, if you're going to be a mess, and the Bucs are a mess, like, the coach is going to get fired, they're going to have to overhaul the whole thing. They got a former 1-1 on the bench. You know what I mean?
Can I tell you
– watching Fitz makes it fun.
Can I tell you how you know that the Bucs are a mess? So the Redskins at halftime get PB&J sandwiches in the locker room amongst other, like, snacky things that they can eat or whatever. And at the end of the day, there's always some left over, so I grabbed one.
Of course
and
you did.
Of course, every week I grab it. That's my post-game.
I grabbed one today, too.
So the Bucks, and I don't know if it's the Bucks or catering or whatever, but I'm going to blame the Bucks for this.
Oh, the Bucks, coming in hot.
The Bucks do PB&J like this. Bread, PB, bread, J, bread.
What is this, a Big Mac PB&J?
I saw that, dude. It looks like a club sandwich.
What are you doing?
You know why that organization is a mess?
They can't even make
They don't
a
know
PB&J?
How to make a goddamn PB&J.
Are you kidding me?
All right. Counterpoint.
You should fire Dirk Cutter for that.
Counterpoint.
Right now.
You're going to say you liked it because you got an extra half of PB&J?
No. Best press box food in the NFL. It's the best. Dude, I got burnt ends and brisket.
Yeah.
It is. You got multiple options, plenty of space, all sorts of TVs.
Bananas Foster.
I'm telling you, Tampa does
Foster.
It right, man.
Yeah. Tampa's a great city.
Can't go full Tampa.
That PB&J
though.
Is questionable.
Dude, the PB&J.
I can't tell you how
mad I thought
mad
it was,
I was
two of them. I thought it was a full sandwich stacked.
Like,
never
I took
that.
A bite of it, and then I looked at it, and I was like,
it's a lot of bread.
I'm not eating this.
There's like, a lot of bread in my mouth.
Three pieces of bread to one serving of PB&J.
I'm sorry that happened to you, Mitch. That's disrespectful.
That's like what gets me through post-game is the PB&J.
I know. Right? You love those. I've seen it. All right. Wacky forward pass. Fitz is crazy. I was really impressed with the play calling, especially in the first half. That second drive, when this thing was very much a game, Josh Norman gets a crazy interception. Then they go three and out, I think. Right?
It was quick.
It was quick.
Yeah.
Then Tampa has a little bit of a drive. They punt. And then the offense had a really good drive. And I like the play calling. If you remember, they had a draw to Capri Bibbs, followed up by a bootleg. But Alex went right instead of going left, which he usually does.
Is that the read?
Yeah, I thought Jay did a good job of mixing it up. I thought the offense is gross, but – it was effective in spurts.
You could tell they wanted to go deep a couple of times, but the O-line just didn't hold up. So these deep shots that they really want to take, I mean,
he
it
also
just was
double
hard
pumped on two deep shots today, where he had time to get rid of it, but he double pumped on it, and then he got sacked. In fact, I was gonna say, I don't know how many times was he sacked overall.
It maybe
Four
one.
Or five? No,
I don't know.
No,
dude, I think it was two tops.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I was gonna say like the sacks were not on the O-line. Like those were not O-line
sacks.
Two sacks. Yeah, there's one.
McCoy and Nassib.
So I thought it was a few more than that. But the sacks were not on the O-line today. And considering the situation that they're in, that's, you know, admirable.
Yeah, I mean, Peterson, it was good to see them win where Adrian Peterson doesn't have to have 95 yards. Like, they showed finally that if Peterson turns in an average day, they can survive.
You know what I liked most about this game was that when the Redskins had a chance to put their foot on the Bucks' neck, they did. On both offense and defense. They had plenty of chances on offense. When they finally got the touchdown – when
yeah,
they finally
but then they
got
had
the,
another chance to get another touchdown.
I know, but listen, they finally got the touchdown.
That was a laser throw from Alex.
That's, I think that might be his best throw as a Redskin. We haven't seen that arm strength.
Great throw and great catch from Doc.
Yeah,
Doc
play,
got open.
Getting
it
alive.
Doc's coming around, dude.
It was very reminiscent of the throw in Kansas City to Doxon last year.
No, it wasn't.
Just in that it was in traffic and he had to make a play for it.
No. That was a corner fade.
Yeah, I'm not tracking with you there.
Yeah, it was.
It was like one-on-one.
The one that he dropped at the end of the game?
That was like an acrobatic fade in the corner.
Yeah, not comparable.
Not a fade, but that's okay.
Doc was in the – this catch came right underneath the goalposts on a delayed crossing when he was coming back
because
Alex was rolling.
And the Kansas City one happened 6 feet in front of me, and I was in the middle of the end zone. So
you're incorrect, bro.
I'm sorry, but you're wrong.
Yeah.
I'm not wrong.
Don't hurt me, but you're super wrong.
I'm excited for all the podcast listeners to tell me that I'm right.
You're so wrong.
I got a note here. Jeremy Sprinkle had a bunch of big blocks. He was coming. I don't know if he was pulling or, like, he was part of, like, trap action or something, but a lot of times he was getting seal blocks in situations that were impressive.
Yeah, and as John Keim said, my favorite line ever, Michael Floyd is a real son of a bitch when it comes to blocking. He's downfield blocking, too.
Yep.
The receivers do a hell of a job blocking downfield.
They're not great receivers.
You know who has not figured out blocking downfield?
Maurice Harris.
Dude, on Alex runs, Mo seems – legitimately like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
So I'm just going to stand here and not do anything and just
like,
get
in
the way.
Like on the one scramble down near the end zone, Mo just like went out of bounds.
Yeah, he like stood at the pylon and then went out of bounds. But at least, I mean, Charlie Cashley was calling on Harris and Doxson to have big days. They didn't have monstrous days, but Harris was a pretty reliable guy throughout the day, and then Doxson had the big touchdown. That was a massive touchdown.
It was a big-time TD.
Because I was kind of watching the end zone. I was like, okay, Reed's not breaking free. Who's going to break free? And then Alex just rifled it in. That was a very big play from Josh
Will Harris
Doxson.
Had 5 catches, 52 yards. Doxson had 4, 46, and a touch. Yeah. Jay Reed had 50 yards.
Yeah, he's just manufacturing
yards.
Offense there.
Dude, you know what they are? This is like 70s baseball where you get a guy on first base. This is like before the
you
DH.
Bunt him over to second.
You steal second.
Hit it over to the second baseman.
And then get a sack fly. Yeah. That's what they're manufacturing offense.
You said Capri Bibbs said they're built to grind it out.
They're built to grind.
Like when the Redskins NFL films at the end of this year, it's going to be like 2018 Redskins, built to grind it out. That's what this team does.
Just built to grind, not hit out.
Sorry.
It out.
Built to grind.
The grinding out wins when it matters.
They're 6-3.
I have another note here. DBs are playing super soft. Early on in the game, I think that was frustrating. And then you realize, I think it was part of the bigger strategy to not let them go over the top and to just play it safe and force
the Greg Stroman, Danny Johnson competition or timeshare is kind of interesting. Danny Johnson kind of starting out of the game, but he was getting picked on repeatedly. And at some point, it was clear that Jay was like, we want Stroman
We were joking about it in the press box, Mitch. What do you think Jay said to Torian when it was time to make that switch? And how many words that rhyme with duck were used?
That's what I get 41 the duck out of the game.
We said
– Torian.
Get ducking 41 the duck out of the game.
Yeah. If you had to autocorrect it on your phone, it'd be something like that. All right, that's kind of what I have until we get into the rest of the stuff. Mitch, you got a lot of notes. Pete, you got notes? Go ahead, boys.
Mitchell, what about your stolen plagiarized notes there?
Yeah, I don't actually have notes.
You have Danny's notes?
Danny
was taking very intense notes.
He did, and we see a different game. We talk about a lot, you guys up in the press box versus me on the field. So
right,
reading
like you
Danny's
somehow
notes,
don't think the Doxson catch from Kansas City last year was in the corner of the end zone.
It wasn't.
Dude, I'm going to show you a picture right now.
All right, Pete, go to your notes.
I kind of just have game balls and stuff and goats ready to go.
All right, we're just ready to go?
Yeah, I'm going to do the first one here.
What are you doing?
I'm going to give it to Ryan Anderson.
Hold on, dude. I got to do a read.
Oh, sorry.
Jeez.
At least let Orsman get the shine.
Sorry. Bobby Ashi, I love you.
Orsman Automotive of Virginia is our squad. Go buy a Chevy, a Buick, or a GMC, Mitch.
You know GMCs well, don't you?
I do. I'm a GMC guy now, even though it's my wife's car.
Your wife is a GMC gal.
I haven't been in it since we bought it.
Neither have I.
No, I had to go, like, I had to do something. I had to, like, get her umbrella or something. But, yeah. I certainly haven't driven it.
You know, I shook Biagi's hand. I told him he did a great job for you. He'll do a great job for you guys, too.
You had to get her what?
Like her umbrella was in the
car.
Why
do you – it's umbrella. Why do you put so much
umbrella.
Emphasis on the umbrella?
No. Umbrella.
You guys are saying it wrong.
Shut up, Pete.
Okay.
Go buy a Buick, Chevy, or GMC at Orsman Automotive of Virginia. They're right in Alexandria. It's right over the bridge from National Harbor. It's right off the Beltway. It's easy to get to.
Tell them JP sent you.
I bought a car there, so you should do the same thing. All right, Pete is – you know, giddy. So
champing at the bit.
Go for it, Pete.
I'm going to give it to Ryan Anderson. He was kind of a surprise, big-time contributor with Pernell McPhee being a kind of a late scratch, one that we weren't really expecting.
Yo, was that for – I don't think that's for injury.
Was there some sort of disciplinary
– oh, Mitch has got that look in his eye.
No, I got nothing. I don't know what it was about.
Well, whatever the hell it was.
Okay,
it
I have the Doxson play. Will you just come watch this real quick?
Dude, it's
– I trust you.
Okay.
Wow, are you accepting defeat?
Is Emo Mitch over here?
Are you accepting defeat?
No.
Well, then come look at it, because I pulled the play up.
All right, go, Pete.
Ryan Anderson, I think that forced fumble punch is something that just – it was great effort, and Jonathan Allen said afterward –
he punched the hell out of that thing.
Just like that –
like
you know,
super uppercut.
Anderson had a very rough rookie season, and it's not like he's really getting to the quarterback this year either, but those kind of plays, it's just – those are big-time difference makers. That's high intelligence. It's high effort. That was very impressive to see, rushing the passer, then reversing your path and going downfield to punch out the ball. And he hasn't panned out a ton as a second-round pick, but you're starting to see a little bit here and there. And I thought that was just a massive, massive play. Very cool for Ryan Anderson.
Yeah, it was a big-time play. They needed it. He made it. I had Norman and Ryan Anderson on the post-game show. Both of those interviews will run tomorrow in the day after pod. And Ryan is a tough guy, and he's not, like, warm and fuzzy. You know what I mean?
He's not emo Ryan Anderson.
No. He's not.
There's no emo about him.
But he's likable. You agree with that?
Yep. All those guys just have carbon copy personalities. No nonsense. The Alabama guys, I think, are just very serious.
Yes, but Allen and Payne, Sean Dion Hamilton is not. Like, he's super serious, but he's outgoing. Like, okay. He's you can tell he's a captain of a team. Allen and Payne's a rookie. He's just quiet. Right. Allen has a personality. Ryan Anderson is a different dude.
I know. He's different.
But you just said they're all the same.
I kind of think when a microphone's in front of their face, all they do is talk about making plays and winning and moving on to the next week.
You're right. That's the only time you can tell a guy's personality is when a microphone's
in his
face.
Yeah, Josh Doctson's catch was in the middle of the end zone, I'm sure.
All right, let's keep it moving here. Mitch Mirio.
Oh, God, I'm going to switch couches.
No, you're not coming to my couch.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a user-submitted one, Bill Callahan. Got these guys.
I saw that.
Got these guys up and running. They played well enough.
Some penalties. Some junk penalties, but some penalties.
Some penalties.
And, hell, three of them at least were on Insecki and Moses, who aren't up
right
and running.
Cooper had a couple,
and Cooper had two holds, but you got to remember that it was 80 degrees out there today. The dude hasn't played a football game in at least, 10 months or so?
Yeah. It was warm out there.
Only two sacks.
That was a tough situation for those guys to step
into.
They
grinded out 116 yards on the ground.
Yeah, I think all things considered, you're happy with how the O-line stood up.
I think we were expecting total disaster, and we didn't get it.
And, dude,
we thought there might be total disaster.
I think Trent might play in Dallas.
You know what's cool? Watching
but
Trent,
if he doesn't play, it's almost a bye week till Philly.
Yeah.
Too.
What's cool is watching Trent work with the O-line when he's never injured and being hurt now, watching him going over the what are those things called? The tablets with the guys. And
you know what's cool is just watching Trent.
Yeah.
Trent is cool. Man.
And he rolled out today with the –
The camo.
The camo –
It wasn't a cast. It was a wrap. He made clear to tell me that.
The camo wrap on his thumb, which was cool. Because it matched the salute to service, Veterans Day, all that stuff that they're doing.
Trent is cool. Like, I wish people – Trent's kind of like – he's not quiet, but he's a little bit reserved, you know what I mean? But, like, I consider myself lucky that I've kind of gotten to know Trent a little bit. And he's just cool, man. Like, he's just a good, cool dude. You agree with that? You know him better than me.
I agree. He's always been, like, aside from when the microphone's in his face –
Jeez, that's the only way Pete knows anybody.
He's always been a cool dude to talk to, and he's interesting, and he's kind of laid back, and he's a quiet, confident. Right. Is that
you ever heard of the Jeep wave?
No.
So people that drive Jeeps always wave to other people driving Jeeps. It's like, at least with Wranglers, it's like a thing you do.
Yeah.
Mitch gets the Jeep wave equivalent of offensive linemen.
Definitely.
Like O linemen are always cool with Mitch. They're like, oh, what's up, man?
And the D-line guys, too.
Always the O-line.
Always O-line.
Though. Well, the D-line, right. I think you were close with a lot of those older veterans that were here for a
while.
Right. Now it's all young dudes. Like, we don't know those guys that well. But Pete knows them all because they're all carbon copies. But you and I don't know them all that well.
So annoying. So annoying. Put your shirt on, JP.
Yes, this is true.
All right. Am I up?
You're up.
I wish the weather was nicer in Tampa Bay.
I don't know that it – This is Southern California nice right now. Yeah. Like
Doc Walker on the sidelines today was like, man, this is making me miss home.
He's like, this is what I grew up with. Yeah. That's what he told me.
He's from L.A. He went to UCLA. He's like, man, this makes me think of home. He's like, this is freaking perfect.
So when Alex Smith was walking to the bus, I was like, dude, this is SoCal weather. He's like, I love it. a dude who is way cooler when the microphones aren't on is Alex.
So Alex Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick, same draft. You guys heard that?
That's wild.
300
And Alex got into Harvard, didn't he?
Yeah.
Could have been teammates.
Dude, that means they might have been recruiting him, and then he went to Utah, and they took Fitz.
That might be.
That's funny, dude.
So pregame, the Bucks in-stadium pregame show or whatever was saying that Alex Smith has 192 passing touchdowns. Ryan Fitzpatrick had 190 leading into the game, and they were surmising that Ryan Fitzpatrick would leave today's game having more touchdown passes than Alex Smith. What does that get you, Pete?
You know what was quiet today? The Buccaneers ship was awfully quiet. They fire a cannon when the team gets into the red zone.
The
what
red
the hell
zone
is that
lame,
about?
Dude.
That's stupider than the effing PB&Js they do.
You know who jumped at that?
Yeah, that cannon scared the hell out of me.
JP
I'm
Finlay.
Not scared to admit it.
This guy.
Today? You did?
Yeah. At the red zone cannon?
I didn't know they did it in the red zone.
So stupid.
So the first two times they went in the red zone, it got me. Like, it went off, and I was like, hey.
That's enough. Dude, I tell you what, man, and not to get emotional, I have missed Tandler like effing crazy on this trip. This is the first real road trip without him. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. there were like all day yesterday, Tandler would have been running around with us doing checking in, and I don't know, man. Like, I've been to Tampa with him a number of times.
We've both,
like, we've made this trip together. So it's a weird one. Like, when I dropped my phone 2 years ago, remember I dropped my phone in the swamp?
Yes.
And Tandler just laughed and laughed. When I got scared by the cannon, and Tandler just laughed and laughed. All right. We're still on game balls. Jeez. This is going to be a marathon.
We've only done two game balls so far.
Morgan Moses. Dude was hurt as hell. I don't think people really recognize how hurt he was. I saw him leaving the locker room. I was like, Mo, you all right? He's like, I'm going to be hurting tomorrow, but it's all worth it. And that's what you need to know about his mentality. Dude is a warrior.
We watched him warm up a little bit when he came out in shorts
like,
and T-shirt.
Not even not good. It looked bad.
He looked clunky. He didn't look like he could move. He didn't look like he could put a whole lot of weight on the leg. And, like, that's his anchor on the right side. That right knee is
And I think
anchor.
They caught him jumping early. They caught him moving early. I think he's looking for every advantage he could. And
absolutely.
It was just, if he could get that leg back there planted a little bit before some big DN comes at him, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think that was a mistake. I think he was trying to get any inch he could.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, Pete.
He's also the victim of the single worst holding call in NFL history.
I thought that was in second.
No, it was Moses.
Oh,
Moses
is that the one that Moses
pushed
crazy
the guy
about?
And, yeah, they called holding.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry, Morgan, that you had to go through that. I'm going to give one to Josh Norman. That interception he made.
Crazy athleticism.
So he's dropped a lot of basic ones for the Redskins, and he's dropped a lot of difficult ones. So for him to make that very difficult interception on the first drive and kind of quell that early momentum, I thought was really big. A nice return, too. And two interceptions this year. After having none last year, he's kind of reversing that a little bit. You need your playmakers to make big-time plays like that, and he's kind of come on after that New Orleans game.
Seven games left, over, under 3.5 INTs for Norman.
Three and a half?
I'll probably go.
I'm going to go under because I think
one
he
more.
Ends up with three.
Yeah.
One over. What the hell?
But acrobatic as hell interception. Very impressive for him to make that little snag there.
Agreed. And we talked about that on the day after pod. You'll hear it tomorrow. Or we talked about it on postgame. You'll hear it tomorrow.
Or
hopefully you watch postgame.
Yeah, watch postgame. I'm going to go with Zach Brown.
ZB played well, especially
one,
we haven't even talked about that tweet.
I don't know how much we want to get into it, but he had whatever controversy he had. Redskins fans, I know you guys know this or saw it or know it, and whatever happened. He came out and played like a dog today, and he struggled for a couple games in a row, or at least last week. And
the linebackers played poorly against the Falcons. The linebackers played well today.
Yeah.
I think it's that simple.
I think both Mace and him.
Yeah.
But
I think they're misaligned a lot.
But
in Atlanta.
Yeah, just considering whatever the tweet was about to come out, and I think he led the team in tackles or was second in tackles was impressive.
Concur. I like it, Mitchell.
Give my guy Greg Stroman a game ball.
Let's go. First one of his career.
Seventh round rookie gets a pick.
And he played that deep ball from DJ
really well.
Yeah. Dude.
I mean, Fitz should have never thrown it, but like.
Fitz is wild, dude.
Yeah.
We might have to give Fitz a game ball. We're definitely giving Chandler Cannizzaro a
bastard.
Game ball.
How is,
sorry. Go
that's
ahead.
Okay.
Pete's going to give like the wind or the upright.
Yeah,
the
you know
game
Pete's
ball.
Got the PB&Js.
Yeah, I'm going to do an inanimate object soon. One. I'm going to give one to Josh Doxson. Like you said, JP, four catches and
fair.
A touchdown.
The touchdown catch was huge, and he worked back to the QB to get open. I got to rewatch that.
And it was a difficult catch, too. There's bodies around him. Like, that was very important. And he also had no ball spinning penalties today. So good for him, Josh Doxson.
That's always a good one.
Yeah. Or bad drop.
Two touchdowns, 2 weeks. Josh Doxson. Waking up a little bit here. I don't think he's ever going to kind of fully fulfill that first-round pick, but he could be a good complimentary receiver, and he's done that the last couple
weeks. I also don't think this offense is going to produce big volume, big games. I guess Mo had 10 catches, 120 last week, but that was junk.
It's going to be everybody kind of working together and just manufacturing stuff, and he did that
today. Manufacturing offense. Dude,
manufacturing offense. I have a feeling you guys are going to not like this one.
Oh, God.
But I'm going to give Adrian Peterson one.
I'm cool with that. They had nothing but him.
I'm never against Adrian Peterson getting a game ball.
You know what? After post touchdown, he put the ball down their throats. He stayed in bounds. They ran a lot of runs to the outside, and he stayed in bounds. He was churning up yards. He was getting first downs. He did a pretty damn good job in the fourth quarter of keeping that clock moving and keeping the Redskins offense on the field.
Dude, I don't know why we would complain about that.
Yeah. I'm all for Adrian Peterson getting his glory. It's just
glory.
His Redskins talk glory.
Preston gets game ball.
Sure.
Sack fumble?
Of course.
RT weekend? Done.
Yeah, done.
Pete?
That's kind of my list
hat
there.
Hat tip for Jeremy Sprinkle.
I'm going to do a hat
He's
tip.
He's blocking his butt off.
Hat tip to Mo Harris as well. And then, yeah, I had Catanzaro on my list. Just
let's do it.
How the hell do you miss the net from 30 yards away? And then he pushed another one wide,
Mitch
too.
Mitch loves how bad my putting is on, like, 4 or 5 footers that I should absolutely make.
That was one of those putts where it's not even in line with the hole ever.
No.
It was like, off from the second
like you
it left
yank
his
it,
toe.
You put, yeah. I mean, it was – that was remarkable.
It was.
Where were you, Mitch?
For the 30-yard miss?
With the one that he missed the net.
That I was right in the corner of the end zone in line with the goalpost. So it's tough to see
coming
how
coming at you or and the ball went away from you, right?
So I was on the end, I was on the back line of the end zone, so in line with the goalpost. So you see the ball miss. It was coming towards me. It was towards me.
So you could tell that it was
Well, it wasn't close. I mean, it wasn't close.
That was a danger to the fans. Like, that ball was going to hit somebody.
And just so we're clear, you also know where the corner of the end zone is.
I'm so in on making fun of Mitch because normally I get
Yo, that's a serious look I'm getting.
He's going to
I don't usually get
us.
That. That's the look I got in Richmond right before he almost threw me in the fire pit.
That was a scary look. That was
dude, I saw it in
never want to see that look
that
again.
That was a dangerous situation.
Oh, God, I'm scared.
All right, you got
here.
Any others, Mitchell?
Can I steal your guy?
Sure.
Tress Way.
Baller.
Phenomenal.
Baller.
Just pulling the string on all of his punts.
Dude, we talked.
I want him to celebrate better. I want him to get a better celebration after hitting a good punt.
What's his celebration now? Just kind of run down and shake everybody's hands?
They're like
classy.
And like act like you've been there before. Like, the dude's been there before. Every game, he's great.
I thought today was his best one of the year. Because that ball bounced
the triple
three
bouncer.
Times inside the five. And so we talked to Tress. So some of my story time is coming up during Game Balls and Goats, which is good. So we talked to Tress as he was walking over to the buses. And Danny asked him, hey, you know, you dropped that. I don't care, Pete. Pete's telling me we've gone 30 minutes.
Just letting you know.
They're 6-3, dude. I think people
want
to listen.
I'm just letting you know. I'll do this
Mitch,
all
don't you think people
night.
Want to listen?
They're 6-3, Pete.
They're 6-3.
I don't care.
Three.
I don't
do
care.
I need to go back to muting you?
Where is Pete going?
I don't know.
Pete's like climbing the wall. What
I'm
are you
excited.
Doing?
I'm
He's
like
worried.
Millennial meter.
All night.
No. All right.
How sweaty are those hands right now, Pete?
So we're talking to Tress, and Tress is like, I dropped that in like a wedge. And we were like, do you talk to the ball? You know, in golf, you're like, bite, stick, whatever you want to say.
Get legs, be good.
Right, all that. Tress is like, I talk to the ball in every putt. Dude.
It sounds like a mic'd up for Richmond next year, Mitchell.
Could we do Tress? That'd be funny.
We could definitely do Tress.
He's funny.
He'd have his trivia questions and talking to the ball. He's a seriously, we rank the players 1 to 53 in importance, and he's usually like 45 or whatever. This year he's
– or 54 in JP's.
You're right. This year Tress is probably, what, a top – 22 player.
That's just
after,
a helicopter
immediately after the offensive defense.
13 feet over our head.
There's a helicopter. There's people in the hot tub now making. I just heard the dude say, "What are these guys recording a podcast?"
Yeah, Redskins talk. You ever
so
heard
we
of
are.
It? We're setting records over here,
yeah.
bro.
All we're doing is breaking records month.
Yeah, go
Yo,
drink,
by the way,
go drink
thank
your
you to
Coors Light
again.
Missile.
We
every
just
month.
Broke another record, and
every month.
I don't know what I'm. I need to ask the PR people what I'm allowed to say. But here's what I can tell you: you guys are part of a serious movement, and we are beating everybody's ass, and I love it. Am I allowed to say that?
Yeah.
You know what?
I just
I'm going to do it right now.
What
are you?
Right now, December 6th. We are thanking
oh!
you.
Oh, he did it!
December 6th.
He did
we
it!
Are thanking you guys. Our
it.
Next podcast.
Easy.
Oh, I just used the F word. I'm going to have to edit that out.
Yeah, you're going to have to
our
damn
next
it,
podcast party
anything.
Is December 6th.
Yo,
December
Mitch
6th,
just...
Christmas party.
Oh.
Yeah, dude, I forgot.
We're right? going.
We're
this
going. We're doing it.
This is happening.
December 6th. Put it on your
Mark
calendar.
Your calendars.
We don't have a location locked in yet. We don't have a beer sponsor locked in yet. We have to coordinate all that stuff with sales and marketing, but
December
it's all coming.
6th.
However, put it on your calendars. Make sure.
Tim Meek, you're flying in from Indianapolis. Book your flight, dude.
You wanted it the first 2 weekends of December. We made it happen.
I'm delivering. We're delivering.
Tell your get a babysitter for the kids.
That was
tell
hype,
your wife.
Man,
tell
hype.
Your husband. Whoever it is.
Mitch Dunn. I don't know what he was going to do.
Mitch Dunn either. Did it.
I believe, and I'm trying to look this up, but I don't have it. I don't think Tress has a touchback all season.
No, he doesn't.
That's absurd.
Absurdity.
When he was punting with, 25 seconds left or so, however much time was left in the game, I was like, this is the punt that you blast through the back of the end zone
because
the game's over and it doesn't matter. Nope. Just casually drops it on the 6-yard line. And
One Jehu more Chesson, inside the 10.
Jehu Chesson tracks it and downs it.
Jehu's a special teams player.
So,
he is.
I kind of think he could be like the Redskins' Matthew Slater, but that's another time for another conversation.
Yeah, man. Dude, you know, it was an RT special. We do that. Ranking the Redskins. Remember, like, it was like a July special.
Yes,
1-53.
You and I didn't do it because
there were only two of us that did it, and it was me and
you
RT.
Never tried, and my Excel sheet broke.
I did it for, like, 6 years, for the record. I missed it this year because I didn't get the email.
Right. It was me and RT, and I was arguing with him because he had Darius Geis as the 7th most important Redskin.
Well, here's all I'm going to say. Wherever we ranked Tress Way,
too low.
Yes.
Way too
and
low.
And this season, in the new Redskins world, where all they do is play defense and
punt exactly
and manufacture offense, Tress is wildly
the
important.
The NFL is breaking records for offensive numbers this year, and the Redskins are just like, nah, we're going to win
16-3. When the NFL zigs, the Redskins zag.
Always.
All right.
Let's go to Goats.
Goats.
Cooper had two holdings. Maybe the – what's
I'm ready to fight you.
I'm
ready to fight you on this.
Wow. Big man is hype.
Well, I want to
you're
say
not
what,
giving him. You're not giving him a goat.
Listen, okay. What's the? Have we ever decided on what's below
kicking
a goat?
Kicking the soda can.
Eye roll. Kicking
so
the soda can.
Stupid. Wasn't that what we said?
Eye roll.
I don't get.
I like
the
an
soda
eye roll.
Can.
Eye roll.
Eye roll. That's good.
Eye roll's
a Mitch
way
eye roll.
Than kicking his soda.
Eye roll.
Eye roll.
We're not giving him an eye roll either. You're not giving him anything.
Okay. Fine.
All right. Well,
he walked in off the street.
That
played,
settles that.
Played
sure.
60, he played 60
Should
snaps.
Should I give him a game ball, JP? I don't know. Like, I'm kind of scared.
There's a middle ground.
There's
yeah,
a middle ground.
Fair.
No, it's
there's
right.
A middle ground.
You have any goats?
No.
Because here's the thing, and I know fans are going to ask for this. I'm not giving Alex Smith a goat. I'm not. I don't even think I'm – maybe an eye roll. Maybe
an eye roll just for the Vernon Davis pass.
A pirate eye roll. They love pirates down here in Tampa.
Gasparilla.
One eye roll.
Gasparilla.
One eye roll.
Well, only for the Vernon Davis miss.
That was a big miss.
You got to
get
that.
You talk about step on their throats. You hit that, game over.
I know. You got to hit that. But then AP went for 8 the next play.
Right.
And then
I just,
4 and then.
Dude, I think we just, for a long time, we watched Kirk Cousins. And Kirk was turned the ball over, but he went downfield. He made big plays. There were chunk plays. Those existed. It's a different time now. It's a different era. Well, Alex doesn't do that stuff, but he doesn't turn the ball over either. And I think we just got to like kind of accept it and not wonder when it's going to get better or when it's going to be different.
Because we kept giving him goats
in
the past few weeks because we wanted it to get better. I think this is the baseline. This is what it is. And if he starts turning the ball over,
four games.
Then he turns
four out of the last 5 games under 200 yards passing, all 4 wins. It's weird.
I think
3 straight wins with exactly 178 yards passing.
That's not right.
I kind of think that is.
It is right.
You think it's exactly 178?
Yeah, definitely had 178 at least twice.
I saw our good friends at the Washington Post tweet about it.
This is the formula, and you're either okay with it or you're not, but this is kind of just what it's going to be.
You're incorrect.
Yeah.
2 straight with 178. The Panthers game, he had 163.
Okay. Well, I blame that on my good friends at the Washington Post.
And that's the type of coverage you can get from the sports capital. Remember how many times you zing McNally with that, dude?
And now McNally works with us.
And now we've annexed the sports capital.
It's the kind of great coverage you get at NBC Sports Washington.
Mitch is wrong a lot tonight.
Pete getting hot. All right. Yo, cut that out. All right. Any other?
I can't think of any goats.
Washington, D.C. is enraged at this Redskins team. We don't have a goat. You know, they're not happy at home, dude. They're not in Tampa where it's 75 degrees and perfect. They're pissed off that this team can't score.
You know what? We're recording this pod before the Cowboys and Eagles game tonight. If the Cowboys go and beat the Eagles, like, things
There's
are looking –
There's going to be a home playoff game.
Things are looking really, really good. Like, you're in a really good position right now. Regardless of what happens next week against Houston.
Mitch, the voice of reason and optimism.
That's me.
Mitch is having a pod, dude. This might be your best pod.
Despite the two quote-unquote mistakes.
I kind of like you being wrong about stuff. Adds flavor. Usually Pete's wrong about stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
And I normally don't add any flavor, so at least you're like dropping podcast flavor. Announcements.
You dropped an F-bomb.
Yeah, jeez.
Yeah, I'm going to have to edit that.
Are we done here?
I don't think there's any goats, really. Like,
yeah, what else are we going to give a goat to?
I think you can get. How about this?
Adonis Alexander for getting the penalty on the kickoff.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, Mitchell.
I mean, he did have one, but like that's not goat-worthy.
I'm going to give eye rolls to the – Michael Floyd gets an eye roll. He had
that
a drop.
Was bad.
That drop was
He had a really good catch
later.
Yeah,
he had a good catch later.
Saved the field
and he blocks like a son of a bitch.
He's a real son of a bitch.
We didn't mention Jordan Reed at all. He had, what, 5
maybe,
for 50?
Maybe a hat tip.
Yeah, but you can get a hat tip. You're not getting a game ball.
No.
We talked about his suit for like 5 minutes.
Not his play on the field. You're making me feel like Tandler. I'm eye-rolling you hard now.
Here's what I'll say. I'll give an eye roll to the whole offense.
Fair.
But I got no goats.
I might.
Does that seem fair?
Yeah.
So I just think they're very fortunate.
Can the refs be a goat? Because a lot of those holding calls were terrible.
I mean, the defense gave up 500 yards, and we don't have a goat on the defense?
I'm
going to
say the defense is very fortunate they played Ryan Fitzpatrick today because they played Matt Ryan last week, a real capable quarterback who moved the ball up and down and didn't
the
turn
real
it
capable
over.
Quarterback that put up 10 points against the Browns today.
He put up 38 against the Reds.
16 against the Browns.
Let's do this. Let's eye roll the whole win because it was an eye roll win.
This is a win that I don't think happens against –
But it's a win.
Quarterback.
It doesn't matter.
I understand.
No pictures on scorecards.
I know.
We wake up
Mitch
in the morning.
Knows that from 18 at St. Andrews where he hit the hotel.
You mean where I made par?
You hit a hotel.
I made par. I parred 18 at St. Andrews.
The Redskins today made par but hit a hotel.
They did.
Right?
That's a very appropriate way to put
We've
it.
We've had a lot of golf references.
We have.
All right.
You wake up, you're 6-3, you're atop the NFC East, and – You're looking down at everybody else and have games in hand on
I'll
everybody.
I'll say that definitely 6-3 is amazing, but this is now two straight games where the defense has given up a lot of yards. A lot of yards. Just keep that in mind next week against Houston. Because if those turnovers don't come through, then it's 38-14 against Atlanta.
But, dude, I'll even say.
I can't say that.
Say it.
That pun.
Oh, I see where that was going. Yeah, I've already edited out one thing. I don't want to have to edit out another.
With it.
I missed it, but I'm okay with it.
It's all right.
All right, let's move on. Podcast party. I have this in my notes. Podcast party, December 6th. Mitch already broke it down, and he crushed it. So I'm trying to find where I wrote down all the over-under stuff.
You sent it in an email.
I got it.
Behunder,
it's a big,
Pomover.
It's a,
all right, over-unders. Mitch, you got your buzzer voice ready?
I got my buzzer, but I'm not buzzering myself.
Well, why? You're going to have to because you got wrong.
Fine. My buzzer's ready to go.
I tell you what. Start with Alex Smith. Over-under was set at 239 yards passing. Alex Smith, again, didn't even get over 200, which is just remarkable in the modern NFL.
Two games in a row.
So,
two wins in a row.
Mitch, JP, Kime, and B-Mitch all said over. What do we get, Mitch?
Who's not on that
Pete
list?
Pete said under. Good for Pete.
Thank you.
Adrian, this is remarkable. Yo, Vegas.
Bethesda knows. It's Bethesda. Yeah.
Adrian Peterson.
Moco knows.
Adrian Peterson, we set the line at 69 rush yards.
Lol.
He finished with 68. Which
Me and Kime were having a real laugh at that in the press box.
Dude, he finished with
Stupid
19
Kime.
Carries.
Are we
going to
get a stat
yards.
Correction tomorrow?
I hope
never
so.
Never know. But it won't go up. No. Yeah. I don't even know if he caught a pass. How could it go up?
He had two catches.
What, you're going to say one of them is a lateral? We've already had a lot of lateral talk today.
His first catch was for minus one.
Well, dude, he had two catches for 2 yards.
He lost yardage on
the first catch was minus one. So maybe that catch comes back.
His final drive, he kind of got hung up a little.
It's not
going
to happen.
It doesn't matter. Let's move on.
This is minutia of the nth degree. All right. So Adrian Peterson, 69 yards. Pete said over. What does Pete get? JP, Mitch, B-Mitch, and Kime all hit that.
This is going to be the most unsatisfying over-under ever.
Is 1-1. The rest of us are all 1-1.
We're all 1-1.
Pete is on the opposite side of all of us.
Yes, but we're all 1-1.
The final one was it 0.5?
0.5. 40 plus.
40-yard plays for DeSean Jackson.
All of us agreed.
No.
Oh, your boy!
No, JP went over under.
Oh, you're a dude.
He went contrarian
you're
under.
Such a dude.
I didn't even know. All right, so B-Mitch,
so
Pete,
annoyed.
Kime, and Mitch all said over. You get what, Mitch? Your boy,
so
JP,
bitter.
Hit the under, 2-1 winner.
Nice job, Dad. Bob.
I would have liked a five-way rock, scissors, paper.
Nah,
stop
that been fun.
Saying that. That's
clean winner right here.
Jelly.
Clean winner.
You're a winner, not clean.
Paper, clean. Scissors.
The hell does that mean?
Rock, paper, scissors.
All right.
Rock, paper, scissors.
All right. Do you want to do the debate first, or you want me to tell some cool stories?
Let's go debate. I'm feeling feisty.
I got to meet Hulk Hogan today.
Oh yeah, I saw.
Really cool. I know he's been involved in a lot of like controversial stuff of late, but when I was a kid and Hulk Hogan was wrestling, he was the coolest dude ever. So I got my picture with Hulk Hogan. That was cool. And I was texting with my buddy Dave. I've met some famous people in my life. I interact with football players all the time. Who do you think is more – so to me, the most famous people I've met, outside of like politicians and stuff, but I ain't into all that, Hulk Hogan or Snoop Dogg, who's more famous? That's a tough one. Right? Pete,
had,
what do you say?
Had Hulk not – had whatever this recent re-upance
and recent is like a decade or 5 years.
Yeah,
like
it's
five
been years. Relevant longer, I think.
Right.
What I'm saying is Hulk was way up top and was kind of plateauing and going downhill in terms of overall relevance.
Right.
And now his name is back in the news again, and he's
right.
You know, he's relevant again. Snoop's name has always been there. And I was just talking about this the other day. About how Snoop started the youth football league out in Cali.
Yeah.
And, like, all of those dudes now are, like, your five-star recruits that are going to, you know.
Snoop is the man.
He almost single-handedly is reinventing youth football in America. It was dying. It maybe still is dying.
Take that, Hulk.
But he's
– So you say – I think Snoop wins it.
I think Snoop wins.
It's a tighter race.
Snoop reinvented himself from being a pothead rapper – to an entrepreneur and influencer, and he's involved.
And you know what's cool is he gets excited to meet B. Mitch still.
That is my best story.
Definition
I have.
Of juice.
That is the best. I got some stories. That's the best story I have. Is that B. Mitch Snoop story?
I got some stories.
What's your vote, Snoop?
Yeah, I'll take Snoop. Longer,
Snoop,
more relevant.
I think if it was a 100-yard race, I think it's Snoop by like 5 yards. I think it's
yeah.
Snoop is not longer relevant.
I think a little more than that.
Neither
I think
of them really
that.
Matter that much to me.
Seven,
honestly.
8 yards?
Yeah.
All right.
I think Hulk, out of his prime, was a bigger superstar than Snoop was, but Snoop's stardom has lasted longer.
Give me the chain smokers over both of them. End of story.
Ugh. All right. Gosh. Edit that part out, Pete.
Yo, it's been a long time since I muted Pete.
I know.
I'm ready to do it.
Yeah. All right. So we hit most of my stories. I got two that need to be told. So it was – because the weather was so perfect, and between post-game and then they do the post-game show, and I have to do a hit and that, I had like a half hour to kill, right? So I just went and stood outside, and that's where the buses were, and all the players were getting on the buses. And it was just kind of fun. Like, players are in a good mood. Much like Mitch here, the players realize they're 6-3, and things are progressing anyway. And fans are going crazy. Again, shout out to the fans, man. They were so great. There's so many of them.
In the middle of your story, I remember that we needed to give a game ball to the fans. Saturday night.
I did it off the top of the podcast.
I know. But Saturday night, going out with the guys.
Yeah,
from
absolutely.
From the rally to dinner to.
Dude, absolutely.
The entire night was awesome.
Getting to know and hang out with so many Redskins fans is the best part of this job. And, like, people think that it's getting paid to watch football or, like.
We were saying yesterday, if this team ever actually becomes a dominant team,
it'd be wild.
The entire
it'd
country would be taken over.
Effing
we were driving
wild.
Through Tampa Bay, and it felt like we were in D.C.
It'd be
jerseys
wild.
Everywhere.
Effing wild.
What I love
Yo,
is –
Pete and I were at 7-Eleven after the game because I needed a big gulp, and we ran into a dude in a Sean Taylor jersey, and he's like, JP, you need to tell them to go get Deshaun.
Yeah.
I didn't have the heart to tell this dude the trade deadline
is
passed. Like,
yeah.
It's not going to happen, but whatever.
Yo,
they travel so
well. My guy
in
the stands was wearing a Kerrigan jersey, and he's cheering at the camera like – you know, showing it off or whatever, and like 5 seconds in, he looks down and he just goes, "Mitch, Redskins Talk Pod, I love you guys,
dude." So, we talked about the Bucks in-game production. I think they do a good job. It's
yeah.
like a good, they got good video boards, good. But every home team does this, every sport, right? Where they put like fans up celebrating on their big screen. And every time they did that, some Redskins fan like jammed
yeah.
a Redskins hat or
a
helmet.
Kerrigan jersey in
yeah,
the corner.
Dude, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was photobombing at its best.
All right. So I'm out there just kind of shooting the breeze, watching guys go to the buses. And, like, dude, we know these guys. So some of them I've been kind of talking to as they walk out, like just casual conversational stuff. And so Kerrigan's walking to the bus. And I'm like, yo, you ever been 6-3? The look Ryan gave me was like so great. It was the ultimate eye roll. Like, like, are you kidding me? Because think about largely the teams he's been on. And
he's been 3-6, I'm sure.
Purdue, but then like the best team he was probably on was
2012
RG3, but they were
4.
They had to go on a heater.
They were
late.
3-6.
Right.
They were 3-6.
Right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It was just, and it makes you remember, like, damn, dude, like, as much as winning is so normal for John Allen and Daron Payne and Sean Dion Hamilton, like, Trent Williams and Ryan Kerrigan, guys that have been here a while, and there aren't that many guys that have been here a while, but the guys that have been here a while, winning's not that normal.
What's nice is it looks like this team doesn't need to put together a 4-game, 5-game winning streak to end the season. They
right.
might be able to just play some normal football
if
and deal with a loss.
If they go .500 the rest of the way, they're 9-7 and they make the playoffs.
Yes.
I firmly think that.
Yeah. They don't need to rush to cover at the end.
All right. Here's my last
cruise.
So we had Ryan Anderson on the postgame, and NBCS Redskins tweeted out a video of Ryan Anderson and Jameis Winston did a jersey swap after the game. But Jameis didn't play. So he found him in the – usually that happens on the field. Jameis came and found Ryan outside of the Redskins' locker room. And, dude, we're all standing there. There's 100 cameras, 100 reporters. And, you know, we all kind of watch it. I tweeted out a picture. I'm sure 1,000 other people did. And afterwards, I was talking to Ryan. I was like, yo, what's – I was like, you and Jameis know each other from growing up or something? He's like, no, we know each other from 7-on-7 in high school, which happens. Like, these elite football recruits go to these 7-on-7 camps. Like, there's all this stuff. When you're getting recruited at the Florida State, Alabama level.
Of course.
I was like, cool. And you and Jameis are just cool from that. He's like, well, we got in a fight the first time we met. And I was like, what? So he told me the story that they're playing 7-on-7. And if you don't know this, 7-on-7 is non-contact.
Yeah.
Like, you're just wearing a helmet. Maybe you're wearing shells, but you're not wearing pads. And you certainly aren't tackling. So
flag football.
It's not flag, but it's kind of flag.
Glorified.
There's no running plays.
Right, right.
So whatever. So
there's no offensive or defensive line, and so that means I don't
Mitch
care
about
it.
Mitch has no interest in it, yeah.
But you'll like the story because it's a big man.
I like it. Let's hear it.
So Anderson was making the conversion to linebacker at the time. He's like 16 years old. This is, you know, 7-8 years ago, I'm guessing. And he said he got beat on a pattern. Like a guy ran an angle route on him. He got beat. Whatever. It happens. When he comes to the line of scrimmage the next play, Jameis starts winking at him because he got beat. Gets beat again. Jameis starts smiling and winking at him.
Are you sure Jameis wasn't just trying to get the play from the coach on the sideline?
Mitch remember, just did some weird thing with his eyes. So I don't know what
you
he,
don't remember when he was at Florida State before he got
oh,
contact?
Oh, he was blinking crazy.
He couldn't see the coach, so he would like.
Hell, you should have told Ryan that. Maybe that's what he was doing.
He'd squint his eyes real hard.
But like
and
we said earlier about Ryan Anderson, he's a – he's kind of a gruff guy, so he –
he's an intense fella.
Don't squint at Ryan. It might be the
– don't even look at Ryan.
So
– would you ever wink at Ryan Anderson?
I absolutely would not.
No.
I'm like – I just say hello. I'm like, hello, Ryan. So whatever. So the next play, Ryan had enough, and he said he just laid out the wide out. In 7-on-7 non-contact drills, just laid him out. And immediately, both benches clear. It's a huge melee. Said he went after Jameis right away.
That's great.
So it was just a huge fight. And he's like, and we've been cool ever since.
Now we're jersey swapping.
I imagine he was like into – like that was like a fun Thursday afternoon
Yeah,
for
I can't
him.
Imagine him enjoying 7-on-7 where you can't hurt people.
Yeah,
it's kind of boring for him.
As Jim Harbaugh says, the human body craves contact. Ryan Anderson would be a firm believer in that.
You know what we haven't seen yet? Ryan Anderson at fullback this year, right?
Yo, we saw it today.
What are you talking about?
Mitch is off today, dude. I'm worried about the big man.
Mitch, he led like 3 Adrian Peterson touchdowns early in the year. And
yeah.
Played today.
Hold on. You said today or this year?
He said this year. No, he said this year.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, Mitch.
10 out of 10 on the E.
Yo, 30 out of 10 on the E. Are you all right, dude?
What?
Did you get
Mitch.
Heat stroke,
Mitch?
I might have.
He led like 3 touchdowns
Yo,
earlier in the
like,
year.
We've done
the
stories
Packers.
On it about him playing fullback.
I'm
like,
scared.
You have shot locker room sound of him talking about playing video.
Mitch,
playing
do you know where we are?
I haven't done yet.
Do you know what this is?
This Pete, is I don't like... want to hear a word from you.
You all right?
I'm scared.
Are you all right, big man?
I'm good.
JP, I'm scared.
Right. Give him an oarsman read. give the people what they want.
They sell cars, not airplanes.
Thank our good sponsors at Oarsman Automotive.
Thanking our good friends at Oarsman, GMC.
Mitch, do you love big men or little men? Please.
Mitch, what size men do you love?
I don't even know at this point.
Oh,
my God. I'm worried about it.
We're losing it. Right, this podcast is like an hour long.
All right. Thank you to the good folks at Oarsman Automotive of Virginia. We ride with them, so you should ride with them. We got to go. We got to check on the big man. You all right?
We got to go. We got to go.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. Tampa has been very fun, very real. Nobody goes full Tampa and survives. I'm worried if Mitch tried, and that's what's going on here.
December 6th.
December 6th, it's on. You going to be all right for December 6th?
Oh, I'm going to be gassed up and ready.
All right, let's go.
Let's go.
Folks, we love you. Seriously, hanging out with you guys at the rally, just talking to all the listeners is the best. If you made it this far.
Oh, OU. Hold on. Oh, real quick.
Sure.
Shout out to the Beef soccer team. They all listen to the pod before games.
Oh, yeah, dude. We said we would say.
We said we'd shout them out.
That's my boy John. That's his squad.
Yeah.
But they're all Whitman kids, so no love for Whitman, but shout out to the Beef soccer team. All right, if you made it this far, we all love you.